Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for giving your life for us. Thank you for everything that you've done. We give you honor and glory today, Lord. Help us to have ears to hear and a heart to respond what you're wanting to do, that we might learn and grow in you. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 2. And we're going to be reading about the paralytic man. Jesus is going forward. He just done the Sermon on the Mount. And he was preaching all this stuff. He's going around preaching the gospel, going around sharing the good news of God. And it doesn't say this in Mark, but let me turn over real quick. This account is in three of the four gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's not in John. Not because John didn't think it was important, but I'm willing to bet John thought, well, they've already covered that one, so I'll cover the stuff they didn't. Because he wrote much later than these other books were. So Luke, I'm gonna go to Mark. I just want to read this out of Luke. And it starts in 17 with Luke. It says, "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, there was the Pharisees and the teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, a man brought in a bed." Okay, so I just want to put out, people were coming from everywhere to hear Jesus. It says that they came out of Galilee, they came out of Judea, and they came out of Jerusalem. From all over the place, right? So it's like everybody in Balsam Lake area, you know, having people coming from New Richmond and Amory, and all the way coming from Stillwater, and maybe even the Twin Cities, coming to where Jesus was. That's kind of the idea. It wasn't just a little area. It was all around. We're all coming to hear what Jesus had to say, this new thing that was happening. And they were excited, you know. A revival was happening, something that hadn't been seen before. They haven't seen God move like this in 400 years plus. They haven't seen God move. They haven't heard his voice. There hasn't been a prophet speaking. And now all of a sudden you got John the Baptist, and he's prophesying, he's speaking forth the last of the Old Testament prophets, declaring the way of the Lord. And here comes Jesus on the scene. John the Baptist brought the word, a stirring word, a word of conviction, a word of rebuke, a word of correction, a word that brought purification. It was the word of God, and it cut people to the heart. But here's Jesus. Not only does he have the word, but he has power. Power. Now, they haven't seen that. They've only read about it. They've only heard about it. Power of God, like they saw when they were brought out of Egypt. The power of God falling and healing and delivering and setting people free. The power of the prophets flowing through a man in their day and age. You know what? This is what we would call a revival. Everybody's excited. They're going. They're like, I want to see what's going on. So Mark 2, verse 1. "Again he entered Capernaum after some days, and was heard that he was in a house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no room to receive them, not even near the door. He preached the word to them." He preached the word to them. "Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men." Jesus preached the word. He was preaching the word. Why? Because the word changes people. Miracles gets their attention. The word is what changes. You know, Jesus is preaching the kingdom. He came out of the wilderness after his confrontation with Satan, and he began to go around and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Luke 4:18-19. This is what Jesus was doing. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And Jesus was going around doing that. Not only that, but he was healing people, setting people free from the demonic forces that have been enslaving them for years. And he's preaching and he's telling people about this kingdom. This kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Lord our God, the kingdom that they're supposedly supposed to be of. The Israelites are supposed to be God's kingdom. God said that I choose people from among the nations. I choose you. You are my people. You are my people. I will be your God. Serve me faithfully and I will bless you. I will provide for you. I will be your one that's guiding you. But they chose not to. They were no longer God's people. And so Jesus is preaching the will of God, saying this is the kingdom of God. But they weren't all entering in. You know, and Jesus is talking about the promises of the kingdom of God. There are many promises in the kingdom. Just like there are promises in the Old Testament, there's promises in the New Testament. And Jesus is telling people about them. You know, the salvation is a promise in the kingdom of God. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." We all know that one. Salvation is part of what Jesus is preaching. He's saying, believe in God and you will be saved. Believe in the Son of God. Trust in the Son of God. Trust in me. Believe in me and I will cause you to have eternal life. Everlasting life. Life that doesn't die. It doesn't fade. It doesn't go away. You know, if you had a plant that had everlasting life, that it wouldn't fade, imagine you had this beautiful flower, like this wonderful flower, and it had eternal life. It wouldn't fade, it wouldn't die, it wouldn't wither, it would stay perfect, it would stay beautiful. That's the kind of life that Jesus is talking about, eternal life. You'll never die, you will never fade. Your flesh is corrupted and it dies and fades, but you are not your flesh. You live in flesh, but you aren't flesh. You are spirit. Your spirit is alive unto God and it'll never die. And that spirit, I'm getting ahead of myself. Provision is part of the kingdom. Matthew 6:30. "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? But first seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." There's a promise of provision that God will provide for us everything that we need. Shared about that in the tithe. All things pertaining to life and godliness. All things. Provision. Protection. Luke 10:19. "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." I don't know about you, but I've been hurt by some things the devil has done. But the promise that Jesus made is that it will not hurt me. You know what? I can use that as a promise. Something that the devil has done something and it affects me deeply and it hurts me, where it physically impacts me, you can stand on this promise and says that I can trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy and nothing shall by any means hurt me. But you got to choose to stand on it, because the devil's not going to just go away. He's not going to just go away. He's not going to just disappear. And I go, "Oh, well, you know, I think I'm going to cut him some slack today. I'm just going to, you know what? You got a free pass today." The devil doesn't do that. Protection. Jesus defeated the enemy, and he's given us power and authority over him. He's given us protection. You know, and he's given us the ability to protect one another. You can pray for one another. You can pray for their situations and circumstances. Healing's another thing. John 10:10. The thief doesn't come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Okay, abundant life is healed life. Because when you're dealing with an infirmity, you are not having an abundant life. I know from personal experience that it is not an abundant life when you're having to deal with a physical infirmity, whatever it may be. He says he came to give us life and to have it more abundantly. Jesus is going around and he's preaching all these things. He's telling people about this. You know what? People are getting excited. They're like, God wants to bless me. He wants to save me. He wants to heal me. He wants to deliver me. He wants to protect me. God loves me. He cares about me. He wants to bring me into his family. He wants me in his kingdom. So they're coming to him and they're thronging him. And I think that this illustration with the paralytic man, I'm going to go back through and read this and I'll come back to my thought. Verse 2, immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them. They're all hearing about this kingdom. They're hearing from other people. This is what Jesus is saying. And they come to him. They hear, what is he actually saying? Or, I just want to hear more. Not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So they had broken through. They let down the bed which the paralytic was lying on. Jesus saw their faith and he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. I'm going to stop there and I want to illustrate a point. Matthew 11:12, Jesus talking about John the Baptist says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violent and the violent take it by force. For years, I've prayed about this scripture because I don't get it. But God illuminated this to me, that what Jesus is talking about is this situation that you're seeing right here. The kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. It says the kingdom of heaven, the word that's defined there is force, like as if people crushing together to enter in. People are entering in to hear what Jesus has to say. They're all coming to hear him. They're crushing together. They're crowding into the house. They're crowding around the house. And there's no room for anybody to get in. And he says the kingdom of heaven has suffered force. It has suffered force, a pushing in, a violent pushing in. And the violent are taking it by force. They're forcefully entering in. These guys forcefully entered into the kingdom. They said, if we can just get him to Jesus, he'll be healed. They said, this is what we want to be part of. He's the king. He's the answer. He's the answer. I'm entering in. I'm going in. How do we get this guy there? And they're looking around and they see everybody pressing in and they're thinking, we can't push our way through this, but we can go over them. Nobody's on the roof. So they carried him up on the roof. You got to wonder what the rest of the guys are thinking. They're like, what do they do? Oh, maybe they've got a good idea. And they climb up there. They get him up there. And then they lower him down in front of Jesus. And Jesus says he marveled at their faith. He saw their faith. He didn't marvel. He said he saw their faith and said, son, your sins are forgiven. Some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their heart, why does this man speak blasphemy like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately, When Jesus perceived in his spirit that they had reasoned thus within himself, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up, rise, take your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of all of them, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." They have never seen anything like this. Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven," to this man. And immediately the religious people got up in arms. Like, "Oh, how dare he? Only God can do that." Yeah, I think he's trying to point something out. just a thought. He says, "The Son of Man has authority to forgive sins." He says, "Which is easier? Your sins are forgiven you? Or take your bed, rise up, walk, and go home? Which is easier?" It's easier to say your sins are forgiven you. But to prove it, he said, "Fine, I'll say it the hard way. Take up your bed, go home, you're healed." And he was. He did, and it was. Jesus makes the point. I think he illustrates a point that sickness can come from sin. That sickness can come from sin. But not all sickness is because of sin. Ultimately, it is. Ultimately, all sickness comes from sin. Because in the beginning, there was the garden, and the garden was perfect. There was no corruption. There was no lack. Everything was working great. Then man sinned, and death came into the world. So ultimately, all sickness comes from sin. But that doesn't mean that somebody's specific sin has to deal with sickness, their sickness. And Jesus illustrates that when they came to him and they said, there was a young blind man that came who had been blind from birth, and they said to him, "Lord, who sinned? This man or his parents?" And Jesus said, "Neither." He says that the glory of God may be revealed. And they healed the guy. He says it's not one sin person's sin or the other person's sin. It is sin. It's the enemy, really, the devil, because he seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. Sickness comes from the devil. The devil comes to tempt us to sin so that he has access to our lives so he can bring destruction. One of those is sickness. Another is corrupt thinking. Another is anger. Another is violence. So all manner of forms that the devil can take. But the reality is that Jesus has authority to forgive sins. Jesus has authority to forgive sins. So do you. So do you. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Uh-huh. We heard that one. I know, this is a... It's a bit outside of our comfort zone. Wait a minute, you mean we can forgive sins? Yes. Yes, we can. Let me give you some reasons as to why. Jesus said the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spoke to them and says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." And he says, "Go make disciples." Right? "All All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And though I am with you always, even to the end of the age, Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. All authority. He didn't say some authority. He said all authority. God has given all authority over to Jesus. Right? John 20, 22 and 23. Jesus said, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. You have authority to forgive sins. You know, Jesus also said, if you ask anything in my name, that I'll do for you. Would that not include forgiving other sins? But here, John points it out blatantly. He said, you can forgive sins. You have the authority to forgive somebody's sins. Isn't that crazy? Think how much freedom that you can bring to somebody, but just saying, you know what? Your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Stephen did this, the first martyr. He's standing there and he's contending with the religious leaders of the time, and he's declaring the truth of God from the beginning all the way up to them, and they're gnashing at the teeth. And he says he looked up and he saw heaven, and he said, I see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And they went mad and they began to stone him, and Stephen says, Father, do not lay this sin to their charge. He forgave them their sin. You have the power to forgive other people's sins. You also have the power to retain them. That's kind of wow. And the last scripture I want to use about this is John 14, 12. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these, he will do, because I go to my Father. Jesus saying, what we saw him do, we can do. Jesus forgave sins. They challenged him. They said, only God can forgive sins. He said, the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. Let me prove it to you. God made us a new creation in Christ Jesus. He made us like him. Just like he was. He was the Son of Man on the earth. We are now the sons of God in this earth. And we have the power and authority that Jesus had. We have the power and authority that Jesus had. And we just need to walk it out. Jesus did everything how the Holy Spirit led him and guided him. We do the same thing. We can be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit tells you, forgive that person's sin, just do it. Just do it. Because I guarantee you, the weight of that sin and that burden is overwhelming. And if you can show them that there is a way to life, they might just press in. They might just press in. They might be willing to forget and forsake all for the sake of living in that freedom, just like we did. Because the devil has nothing that can compare to the freedom of Christ. We have such great promises. We have such great... We have so much. We have so much, and we use so little of it. God's not wanting perfection. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for willing hearts. He's looking for people who are willing to follow him and let him be their God. You don't have to be perfect. Just follow. Because he's given us all of this stuff. He's given us salvation. He's given us provision. He's given us protection. He's given us healing. He's given us a power over the enemy. He's given us the ability to forgive people's sins and bring healing and health and life to them, to bring the will of God to them. That's what all the fivefold, what all the gifts are for in the nine gifts of the Spirit. They are for bringing salvation to the people of this world, bringing the kingdom to them. The reality is we have everything because we live in the household of God. Whatever we have need of, all we need to do is ask. The Lord wants to use us, use the gifts that we have to reach the world. We just need to follow. It's through knowing Him. It's through knowing Him that we enter into the fullness of these things. And if we don't know Him enough, go back to my tithe message. His divine power He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and by virtue. He has called us. You've been saved. You've been delivered. You've been fed. You've been taken care of. You've been ministered to. You've had amazing people preach and the people minister to you. You have received so much. Now you need to go and do. Now you need to go and do. Share what you've learned. Share what God has spoken to you. All you have to do is open your mouth and say, I heard this. God said this to me. God's done this for me. I remember when a minister spoke this and it changed the way my life went. Give the testimony because that's the power of God. Your relationship with God changes everything. It trumps everything. You can refute arguments and theology. You cannot refute a person's testimony. You can't do it. They can say, well, that didn't happen. Well, that's not going to change my mind. I was there. I know what happened. You weren't. I'm the expert here. You're just a wannabe. You have received so much. Start giving. Start giving. Your pantries are packed. Your refrigerators are full up. You got more than enough. Just start pulling stuff out and serving it up and giving it to people. Because there's a lost and dying world out there that needs us. And unless we make a move, unless we make a move, the kingdom doesn't advance. Because we're the ones that are entrusted with advancing the kingdom. Just like these men with the paralytic, they were willing to believe in Jesus and take a chance. And they got him to Jesus. And Jesus responded to their faith. Jesus will respond to your faith. He won't respond to your whining, but he will respond to your faith. He'll respond to your faith. Take a step. And maybe you too can heal a paralytic. See him healed, set free and delivered. You have everything that you have need of for life and godliness because God's provided it by his power. You just need to step into it and let him flow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Father, I give you glory. I give you glory, Lord. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for empowering us. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us everything that we have need of for life and godliness. Lord, help us to step out in faith. Help us to make that faith step. Help us to have courage and confidence to step out and trust you that you've got this thing covered so that your name gets glory and honor. And we get to see the kingdom advanced and your name glorified. And we just praise you and give you glory and honor. I thank you, Lord. We love you. Let your name be praised forevermore. Amen.